series that I really want to encourage you not to miss. I'm going to be addressing the issue of God's control, or what has been titled the sovereignty of God. We're going to try and define what that means in a simplified definition. We're going to touch on some of the what I would determine as sacred religious cows. We're going to look at a number of passages and stories in the Bible. And in the end, hopefully, we will have a better understanding of the true nature of God. And I have to say as we begin that this topic of study has been under the microscope for years and years throughout the centuries of some of the greatest theologians since the first days of man's search for God. And I am not one of those theologians, but in saying that, I'm not going to diminish my knowledge of the Scripture. Now, I have been thinking and studying on this topic for many, many years, and I've never preached on it and talked about it at this depth or length, but I know that in those years, I have come to a point of, I guess, a peace in my understanding to this point. With that said, I have to admit I don't have all the answers that I want to have. I don't have the correct language to try to communicate, in many cases having to do with the questions of the sovereignty of God. So I'm asking you to be patient with me in this, in our journey together. And here's the fundamental question that we're going to begin with, and it is in your handout this morning, and is the title of our sermon series that we're going to begin to answer this question over the next 10 years on Sundays. The next few weeks, we're going to be able to crack the door open to try and answer this question the best way we can. And the question is, does God control everything? See, that's ultimately the question when you're dealing with understanding the sovereignty of God. Does God control everything? Well, before we go down that road, let me give you the definition of what I like, or what I believe is a truer definition of the word sovereign or sovereignty that I accept and what I believe the Bible teaches. And if you look in the dictionaries, any dictionary will define it like this. Sovereignty means supreme, independent power or authority. So in other words, it is sovereign is the highest place that you can get. It is supreme. It is all-powerful. Sovereignty is dealing with all authority. There is no one greater. Excuse me. So I want you to encourage you to remember that definition as we address some of the questions. Does God control everything? Well, if I were to ask you to answer that question, I believe a lot of people, just based on our circumstances and because we don't have or we can't answer other questions that arise in our lives, we would say, yes, God controls everything. But let me just say up front that this morning's message is really going to be kind of like a monologue or an introduction. I'm going to say a lot of things first, and then we're going to go back and address them over the next few times that we're together. So I encourage you, stay with me today. I will back up what I say through the Word of God, but I want to make a lot of statements today and throw out a lot of thoughts and information, and then we're going to go back and talk about it. There are many who believe that whatever happens in life is just God's will. Some see the sovereignty of God like this. God has dictated or predetermined by fate that some are going to succeed and other people are going to be duds. Some will suffer and some will not. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. Some child dies, we don't know why. It's God's will that that happened, but it just is. And there isn't anything that we can do about it. Listen, I realize when we're in pain from a loss or a tragedy, and we don't have an answer, we grasp for answers, true or not, and many times, whatever those answers may be, bring us comfort. They bring us some sort of comfort. Trust me, I've been there. Listen, many times as a pastor, I am put into positions where we're literally forced to give answers to questions that God is not answering, and it's very hard to find the truth in those situations. So being able to take that situation and throw it into the, well, God is in control bucket, helps. It does help. But that doesn't mean that it's the truth simply because we don't have an answer to the question. Just because God can use a tragedy doesn't mean he's the author of that tragedy. The problem we have is that we see how wonderfully God can use a tragedy or a crisis and turn it around and make something good out of it, that we have a tendency to think because he was able to do that, he's the one that orchestrated it in the beginning. We take one scripture, Romans 8:28, which many of us are familiar with, and we use this passage of scripture to answer every challenge or question that we are unable to answer. We say we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. And we use that verse for every unexplained crisis, tragedy, sickness, death, because many times we just don't have the answer. So we use that verse. This scripture is absolutely true, but there are actual requirements for that scripture to be true. And you have, if you read before it and you read after it, isn't just one verse. It connects to a whole train of thought. But for one thing, it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. Listen to me. If you have no love for God, all things are not going to work together for your good. They can actually work together for your destruction, not for your good. There are other things we'll talk about before that verse and after that verse that we'll look at. But for now, we just need to understand the will of God is multidimensional. The will of God is mysterious. It is some mystery involved in the discovery of the will of God. The will of God is layer after layer after layer, levels after level after levels of degrees of understanding and knowledge to be able to see clearly through God's plan. See it. For one thing, God's will in your life and another individual life doesn't mean it's going to be the same in my life. If we believe that we have a God who individually loves us, individually, then we have to embrace an understanding that God individually is involved in our life as if we were the most important one in the entire world. Anything less than that, then we don't serve the God of the Bible. We have to embrace that God loves each and every one of us individually just as much as he loves the person next to us, or just as much as he loved his own son. We have to embrace that. The will of God is deep. It's hard to understand. We can't stand the fact that God doesn't tell us everything. We want answers. Nothing wrong with wanting answers. So when we don't have the answer, we throw it into the sovereignty bucket. This must have been the will of God. I remember as a kid growing up and watching this situation happen, and I just could not in my mind understand why that this was the will of God for somebody. And I don't know how old I was, 16, 17 years old, and you know, I wasn't real submissive at that point in my life. And I remember this situation was just a terrible tragedy. I won't go into it. And getting into this discussion with one of our spiritual ladies in the church about how, well, we just don't understand God's will. And I really kind of got upset. I said, you know what? If this is the kind of God that we worship in this church, I don't want to. I don't want anything to do with this. Because I did not believe that was the God of the Bible that I loved. That what was going on in this situation. And as I've journeyed through the years, that's begun to expand in my thinking of how God does what he does and why it happens, we don't know. We do know that God has a plan. Let me just tell you, God wastes no challenge in our lives. Romans 5, the beginning, tells us that. Just because we don't always see the picture clearly, we must know that strength gets built in our lives and in us. Character gets built in our lives. Strength was built to not let go of God's purposes and His plans for us. When we go through situations, God does use that as a method to build strength and character in our lives. And we have to be careful of a predictable God. A predictable God means that people have created a God of their own likeness and choosing, and that never works out in the end. If everything that God does and has done is explainable to every single person, then this God is not as great as we think He is. So we need to understand there's not every answer we're going to get from God. But I'm going to give you a simple tool this morning, a simple tool to help you determine if something is God's will or it's not God's will. It's a simple tool in this way. And we have to see what the truth is, because these are from the words of Jesus Christ Himself. And if Jesus said it, and we believe that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, and Jesus Himself, and this is a key we're going to look at if I can later, when Jesus said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me so. Okay, that's a key to understanding how God operates in the will of God. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me so. So if the words I'm going to share with you came from Jesus Himself, then we can trust that it came from God. Agreed? So if Jesus said this, here's what He said. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So here's the way I see it. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. I know that was probably really deep theologically. And you may have not have gotten it the first time, so let me say that again just so we can get this. All right? If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Not complicated. Not complicated. See, the Bible tells us God is good, loving, and kind all the time. So you either embrace that and believe that, or you don't. This fact is something that you have to settle in your mind and heart once and for all. No matter what situation we are in, we have to embrace this, and we have to refuse to shift the focus because of something you can't explain. God is good all the time. Say that with me. God is good all the time. See, how many of you ever heard that? Don't we hear that? All that's one of those big phrases, right? God is good
all the time.
Okay, then we have to believe that. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. See, we have to understand, in the midst of this understanding God's will and His nature for us, we have to understand there is a fight that is going on in this world. There's a fight that's going on between good and evil. And that plays a lot in what happens all around us. Having this attitude, though, that God is good, doesn't dismiss our part or our responsibility. See, during a crisis or a tragedy that we are in, we have to embrace a faith in God that is based on and drawn from the goodness of God, and we know that in the end, everything does work together for His good and for our good. We do know that that's true, but it doesn't take away our responsibility in this. But it is an important approach in life that everything, and I mean every single thing that happens in this world in our life, God works for the good for every single person who is a child of God, a follower of Jesus Christ. He is going to do something good. Even in the most terrible event, God is prepared to reverse its effects so that the tragedy that we have gone through becomes a triumph, which does imply that not everything that happens to us in life is God's will, because He has reversed its effects. Not everything that comes against us is God's will. This is one of the areas, I believe, of greatest confusion in people's lives. It is one of those areas that we know when something bad happens, you know, many people have walked away from God because how could a good God allow bad? They walk away because they think that God should have stopped every circumstance or situation that happens in people's lives. And if he doesn't do that, then he just doesn't love us. What are the things that we know based on the Word of God? Number one, we know God is supreme, independent, powerful, and the only one who is in authority over all. We know that. And he is in charge of everything. He is in charge of everything. Psalm 115 and verse 3 says, our God is in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him. Period. He can do whatever he wants to do. But with that, and I believe, and you can believe whatever you want, but I believe there is a difference from being in charge and being in control. Okay? Keep that in mind. There is a difference from being in charge than from being in control. I'm in charge here right now. Wouldn't you agree? I am. I mean, I've been placed in that area of responsibility, delegated responsibility given to me. I'm in charge, but guess what? I am not in control of everything. I am not. There's a lot of things that are going on in here that I'm not in control of. See, if I was in control, no, I'm just kidding. We're not going there. No. But I'm not. I'm in charge, but I'm not in controlling of everything. See? We make a mistake in our thinking that God is in control of everything. But if we believe that, now listen, if we believe that, then we have to believe that Hitler and his slaughter of millions of people was God's will. We would have to believe that the killing of millions of unborn children was his will also, and that it was just going to work out for some good purpose for God. By the way, I've noticed that everyone that is for abortion has already been born. Interesting, something to think about. Think about this. Why would God raise something up to be his will that he wants you to pray against? Think about that one. If we believe God made us sick or poor or to suffer some terrible tragedy, then why go to the doctor? Why pray at all? Why take the medicine? Why work a job if God intended for you to be broke all the time? Shouldn't we just pray for the sick quickly to die so that God's will could be done sooner in their life than later? Right? Tell me a person who is in pain and is suffering wants to continue to suffer forever. Absolutely they don't. So are we going to pray that? How about this? The next time anyone is sick, I'll ask them if their sickness is God's will. And if they don't know the answer, then what I'll say is, well then, let me just pray for you to really, really suffer and be in terrible pain so that you can get the most out of this for your good while you're trying to decide. If I prayed that for somebody, how long do you think they would stay around here? When people think that way, there's a name for that. It's called being a split personality. It is. You have the Father in a spiritual sense. You have the Father working against the Son. You have the Holy Spirit working against the Father. And they're all working against each other. That's crazy. God doesn't work that way. But guess what? There is already a religion on the earth that believes that. It's called Hinduism. Eastern religions. They believe whatever way you were born into this world, that is just the way that it is, and yet that's your lot in life, and no one is going to interfere and try to help you change that or get out of that, and they leave that. If you are a leper, you're just going to stay that way the rest of your life because that's in the cards, karma. See, we don't believe that. Why do we want to embrace any of that in our faith about God? Don't blend stuff. Believe what God says, even if we don't have an answer for every scenario or every situation that we face. Let me say this lastly kind of this morning. I've been trying to work this out in my mind for years. How does this work? Not unlike many of you, I know for sure. Every time I read through the Bible, I have questions about this subject. Every single time something doesn't work out the way that I believe it should have worked out, standing on the promises of the Word of God, and yet something still doesn't work that way. We all experience tragedy and pain and suffering on one side, and then we many times can come and experience some incredible blessing from God. And here's one for you. I don't understand this. Okay, so God can clearly communicate something to you when He wants to, and then He doesn't when He doesn't want to. Last week, I'm sitting here in church. Jerry had come to church that morning, last Sunday morning. She was doing little children's church. She'd brought this little monkey thing or whatever it was. We hadn't used it for a while. It moves and makes noises. It's kind of cute, little chimpanzee or whatever it is. And so we changed the batteries and all this stuff, and it wasn't working. So, because I mean, you're supposed to press it, and it does this and that. So I come into prayer. I change the batteries out. Whatever I told her, I don't know. I can't get the thing to work, and she's trying to get it to work. I can't get it to work. So I come in here and sit down. I'm in the middle of prayer, and I hear in my heart, turn on the switch. I mean, I'm in here trying to hear God for the message. I haven't got time to get up and go turn on a switch. And I go, I know I'm sitting there and I go, there's a switch? I get up, I go walk in the room where she's at, I grab the thing, I flip it over, I'm looking around, I go, yep, there's a switch. Turn the switch and go, starts doing, I go, well, Jerry, here you go, you stupid chimpanzee. I got to go. See, explain that. So when we understand and we think about what God does and why He does it, sometimes we just have to put God in being in charge, but also understand that not everything that happens in this life is God's will for us. See, what I believe is going on is this. God has created a system where humanity gets to live, and we're going to look in more detail into this later. And through our partnership with God, we get to demonstrate and manifest the dominion of God in the earth through our lives. He comes to us at our invitation because He has released to us His dominion so it can flow in us and flow through us. That's why prayer is so essential. And I'm going to show you examples of what has happened in people's lives all through the Bible simply because of prayer. Many of the greatest saints in history believed that even though God was all-powerful, He, in a sense, handcuffed Himself through His own declarations by His own words found in the Bible. And we get to release His power through dominion in us. It was released through the partnership of delegated authority. And we're going to talk about understanding delegated authority. And I'm going to tell you why I believe we don't see all the miracles that we want to see, all the healings that we want to see, all the things that we see in the Bible that we're not seeing them. I believe it has a direct connection to understanding authority. That this delegated authority God has given to us. And if we don't do it, it never gets done. And I believe this, if you'll listen to your spirit and not your head, you'll embrace and you'll believe that's true. Every single one of us in this place know that we are working towards our potential and we have not gotten there. Because why work towards your potential if it doesn't matter? We know it does. There are things that we just don't understand about in the Spirit. So many times people are waiting for Jesus to return to rule and reign, and maybe God is sitting there waiting for you to get the authority God has given to you and let Jesus rule and reign on the earth through you. Does Jesus have to be present in this building to rule and reign in your life? No. Where does Jesus rule and reign? We get the words of God, and when we apply the words of God to our life, is Jesus ruling and reigning in us? Yes. We have our government, the heads of our government are in Washington, D.C., and they make rules and laws that trickle down and apply to every single person in this country, in America's domain, in this dominion, right? Doesn't apply to other countries, it applies to us who are citizens of this country. Listen, I'm going to talk about and help you see that as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, on this earth, there are things that apply and things that don't apply. And if we understand them and we begin to work through them and apply them, it affects everything. Even non-believers get to benefit from the decisions that we make and we stand on, because that light has a direct effect in the darkness. And it'll happen in our lives. But listen, understand this. I know He's God, and He rules over the heavens and the earth, and He can step onto the stage anytime, and it's over, and it'll be over. But in the words of C.S. Lewis, he said this: when the author steps on the stage, the play is over. It's over. It really is over. Do you really want this to be over? Because you have to realize that when He does step on the stage and it's over, everyone's choices end at that moment. Every single person who is not saved is finished. God doesn't want that, and neither should we. God wants every person to come to repentance. Said that He doesn't want anyone to perish. So if God is saying over here, I don't want anyone to perish and people perish, then what is that? God, is He schizophrenic? Did He create a situation over here just so He can prove how powerful He is over here? No, God's not an egomaniac. He doesn't need to prove anything. There are just things we don't understand. See, in closing today, I want to challenge you to think about this. I want to challenge you to think about this question. I don't know if I put it in your handout. Maybe I did. Yeah, I think I did. If you embrace an extreme sovereignty, where God controls and determines everything, what kind of a person do you become? I just want you to think about that. If you embrace an extreme sovereignty where God controls and determines everything, what kind of a person do you become? We're going to talk about that and why it's so important. We have to watch what we listen to and what we embrace. Something changes in you when that happens. And before we're going, I just want us all to agree this morning for Walt. He's going to try to figure out where all of his pain is coming from and deal with some of that stuff. So we're going to do this next week. So we need to pray for him before we leave out. So let's stand together this morning. And what a journey we're going to have here, going through and look at some of these things that God has done and our part, understanding of God's control of everything. How does that work? What is our part? It's going to be fun. I'm going to tell you, don't miss what we're going to be talking about, because it'll blow your mind. It'll be awesome. So let's just pray. Father, we this morning pray right now for Walt. We thank You, Father, that You have given us freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And we know the Spirit of God is here today. We speak life and health and healing to his body right now. And Father, we know that as He searches out all of these things for what's causing this, what this pain is, and all of this, Father, that He is going to find relief, Lord, that through Your word and Your promises, You're going to bring Him relief. Because we know, Lord, Your will is good. And You are good all the time. And we embrace that, and we thank You for that. And just be with them right now, Lord, today. Be with Chris, the family, as they walk this journey together. And they stand in the fight of faith. And we thank You for this today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.